Literally, I saw that and I wanted to launch my phone into the sun.
It's the arrival. I came in a lead, went straight for the title.
Caught! Touchdown! Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvelous! Gets past Ransom! Donovan Edwards! Touchdown! The Don!
There's nothing quite like the game.
Michigan versus Ohio State.
This is The Rivalry, sponsored by Elevated Integrity Construction.
Jace and JP, this is The Rivalry Podcast. It's What's Michigan up? And Ohio State on social media at RivalPod. It's your garbage-free college football podcast focused on the Michigan-Ohio State football rivalry. Let's kick it off with Wheel Route, and then I have got so many things I'd like to get off my chest.
I'm sure
today.
You do. I honestly, you what say garbage-free and then walk in wearing that shirt. So I don't know what's more embarrassing.
We are sporting the black-on-black Michigan versus everybody shirt. Was it a purchase impulsively at the M-Den on the way out?
And I think that's just...
Yes, it was.
All right. I like this one.
Wheel Route question, brought to you by the J Company. Fall in love with your home all over again at the JAEcompany.com. The question today, biggest name in the transfer
portal. And this doesn't have to be somebody that's already kind of thrown their name out there. This could be somebody that you think will put their name out there because the game's changed now. NIL stuff has completely changed the way everything happens. So there could be a lot, honestly, of big name players. You saw it last year with Sam Hartman. Bo Nix is another one where he had transferred out. You're going to see this more and more where key guys, key recruits are going to be putting their name in a transfer portal. Who is the biggest name that you think you see?
Oh, man. This is a question that I'll be honest. Like I don't feel like I'm up on who's already in the portal. And I know it could be like, well, who could transfer out? I feel like that's so hard to tell. I feel like it's so hard to tell who's going to go where. Like,
and I think a huge thing right now. And I'm double checking this because I don't remember for sure what his class is, but when I think of this, I think it's going to be quarterbacks. It's the same people we just talked about, where you've got the Sam Hartmans, you've got the Bo Nix of the world going out. And I think for me, it's got to be Malik Murphy, right? From Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's got to be the number one choice. I've seen a lot of people trying to talk about, like, Texas right now has a great quarterback room.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Quinn, you've got Malik, and you've got Arch Manning. Somebody's not going to get playing time. One of them is almost inevitable to get in.
Well, and Manning's not. I don't think Manning's going anywhere.
No, and he's not going anywhere.
So Malik Murphy's. I'll take that. That's one where I will openly say, like, I'm not up on that right now.
Yeah.
I'll say Malik Murphy. Where do you speculate? I mean, you can speculate
167
teams or whatever.
I mean, it just depends. I don't know if I know that answer.
Yeah.
I just feel like if there's a program that's out there that's got an overload of talent and there's guys that deserve playing time other places, that's what you're going to see. And to me, that's the most glaring one. He's not obviously announced anything. It just wouldn't surprise me if he put his name out there.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Ohio State fans after this weekend, and we'll get to this later on, a majority of them were trying, and Maurice Clarett, former running back, great player for the Ohio State University, was all over Twitter trying to get Arch Manning to commit. And
Maurice Clarett is a loose cannon.
It's not happening. Look, there are some Ohio State athletes
trying to get Urban Meyer to come back.
Yeah, there are some former players that I see, and I respect their opinion. And then there are others that are just absolutely unhinged.
It's like, thank you for your service on the field.
Yes, thank you for the championship in 2002. But Maurice, that just ain't going to happen, brother.
It's similar to the way that I look at Desmond Howard, and I go, thank you for your on-field, like, what you've done. I don't go to you for football analysis.
Yes.
100%. I go to you for just these wild, chaotic takes.
100%. So I think he'll go because I don't see Quinn leaving. I don't see Arch leaving. He's just the name that pops out to me. Where he ends up going, it could be a bunch of places. Yeah. I mean, Washington's going to be without Penix. Oregon's going to be without Bo Nix.
Here's where I'll be interested to see what transfer portal looks like moving forward. And again, I have no idea on this, but I'm interested to see what Michigan State does now that Jonathan Smith is coming over from Oregon State, which I think if you're Michigan State, I think it's probably about as good a hire as
you can hope for. Do they have to pay him 10 years for $95 million as well?
It's not going to stop us from making jokes.
Absolutely not.
And Smith did a phenomenal job at Oregon State.
Yeah.
How does that translate into a Michigan Michigan State team that is just untalented.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Just straight up no talent on that team. Obviously, I hope it's a dumpster fire, and now I have to hate Jonathan Smith.
And it's going to be hard
because I like what he's done at LSU.
It's going to be a thing, though, where anytime stuff like that happens, after you've had your program get run into the ground like Mel Tucker did, you've got to give him time. So Michigan State's not going to come into next year and all of a sudden be a better football team. They're going to be bad. They're going to get blown out again. It's not going
to
be great.
But you cannot get any worse, right? Like you cannot get any worse than the Mel Tucker thing and then the firing. Yeah. And the
but
whatever.
You got to be
like, you've hit rock bottom, and it is low. It's a low rock bottom.
Our expectations were low, but oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. But now if you're Michigan State, you go, okay, we've got a name, and here we go. And again, it is not remotely the same as Michigan hiring Jim Harbaugh in 15, but it's a similar state, at least, where Michigan was at, where they had had, you know, in the late 2000s, they'd had a 3-9 season. When Harbaugh came in, Brady Hoke had had little success. They were coming off a 5-7 season. You thought, well, this cannot get any worse. And now we have a name, and now we can start building. And you saw what Jim Harbaugh did. Now, I'm not saying Jonathan Smith is going to be Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, and there's very few coaches. But it's
that type of, we have a name, and now we can start building.
Yes.
It's that type of mentality.
And it all starts, it's got to start somewhere. And that's enough of Michigan State because I freaking hate them. So gross.
Let's talk about the game. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of it and the evaluation, we tend to do this. We're going to give each other an opening monologue.
Okay.
And I think the victors are going to go
first. You can start.
I don't know what else there is to say for Ohio State fan bases. And this is not necessarily directed at you, JP.
That's fine.
But I don't know what else there is to say. I mean, I'm wearing the Michigan versus everybody shirt today.
How much did that cost you? The world needs to know.
I'm pretty sure that I can pay for it in Buckeye comments on my social media.
No. Free. Answer the question. How much physical money did you have to spend to wear that cricket cut shirt?
Money is no object walking out of that stadium.
Well, yeah, when Connor Stallions can just Venmo you for a t-shirt. Is that we figured it out. Connor Stallions actually gives out t-shirts.
You've interrupted my monologue, but now I have to say somebody did claim that Connor Stallions was actually at that game. And I have no idea. But I love the idea that this man bought tickets and got to the game. Maybe he was on the sideline. Who's to say? It's Michigan versus everybody all year. For what feels like all year, it's really been about 6 weeks. It's been, okay, the Connor Stallions thing. This is why these players are good. This is why this team beat Ohio State. When Ohio State lost to Michigan, it was, oh, we had the flu. Oh, it was cold. Then the year after it was, well, the sign stealing thing. I had Ohio State fans trying to get in my mentions with, well, you're going to vacate wins and here's an asterisk on this win. What else are you going to say, baby? Michigan wins again. Everybody is against Michigan. Everybody was, you're good because you cheated, blah, blah, blah. We're going to blow this into you're the Ann Arbor Astros. This is the worst cheating scandal in football. Big Ten suspends Harbaugh at the last second on an airplane heading to Penn State. And Sherrone Moore goes 3-0. Ryan Day outcoached by an interim offensive coordinator. You guys wrote a lot of checks you can't cash,
baby.
Are you done? A lot of checks you can't cash. Hey, Ohio State football Twitter, post the score.
Are you done?
The game's been over for a while. Post the score. Michigan 30, Ohio State 24. What a glorious day.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Not really. Like, I've got a lot more, but I'll start there.
What I want to say is actually maybe going to surprise you. This is my least favorite weekend because I get so anxious. And it's always been this way, but it's my least favorite weekend for one big reason, because out of the woodwork comes fans from both sides who I know have not watched a dang second of football all season
Correct.
Long. And as a diehard fan, as somebody that religiously sits down on Saturdays and waits till that game, does nothing else, plans their Saturdays around this, who is invested in this. I mean, you've gone to games with me. You've seen.
Well, we do this podcast because we both love
because
these
we
teams
care.
To death.
But we work in a working press box, and I can't control it. I'm standing up. I have to remove myself from my chair and go places because I can't help but cheer. That is how emotionally invested I am. It literally, and you can make fun of me, I don't really care, legitimately ruins my day when they lose. Legitimate. I was in the worst mood on Saturday. And to see people, Buckeye fans is mostly what I see because I don't honestly follow a lot of Michigan fans for obvious reasons. But seeing people after the game that I know have not sat in front of their TV and watched a second of Buckeye football this season try to analyze some of these kids after the game makes my blood freaking boil. And I want to read a comment to you because this guy was such an idiot that I actually screenshotted it. It's
we,
a guy.
We are an arm of the river. Can we say idiot? I guess we can.
Just did.
We've said a lot of just stuff. Just did. It is garbage free, but sometimes we say idiot.
But this,
I'm sorry.
This will be a garbage part. I'm not going to say his name or anything, but I'm just going to read his Facebook status. Okay. This man I've not seen talk about Ohio State whatsoever this whole season. Okay. McCord, you're still trash. You're obviously misspelled. Get one good play every 5 to 10. False. Drive should have kept going if you could hit wide open people. Then a kicker who can't kick. Typical. And then what makes the cherry on top is the comment underneath where they just said he is a freshman quarterback. I saw that and I wanted to launch my phone into the sun because the ignorance on all of that. Yep. I saw comment after comment and I'll stand by it. I've been probably a little bit more of an apologetic towards Kyle McCord's play this year.
We'll get into that.
But I feel like I've been fair. I don't feel like I've been one of those people that has talked about him as some elite level quarterback or that has talked about him as the savior of this program or anything like that. I feel like I've held him to a pretty standard. He is not a bad quarterback. He's above average. And I've said numerous times, Ohio State has been spoiled with the quarterbacks in the past. We've had quarterbacks that have gotten picked in the first round for like 5 or 6 years in a row. And that's not, you can't keep that all the time. There's going to be years where you're going to have a little bit of a downside at that position. I don't think what Kyle McCord did this year was a downside. It was a step back from the talent we've seen at that position, 100%, without a doubt. But to act like he didn't have the skill set to go out there and still win that game is gross.
Well, also not a freshman quarterback.
Well, and that's why I'm saying that was the cherry on top. The dude is a junior. The guy is going to probably he's coming back next year for a senior season. Most likely going to lead the team again. You won't realize it until the last week in November when you finally decide to watch the Scarlet and Gray again. But if I have to see another person on my social media platform talk about how Kyle McCord sucks or how Ryan Day needs to be fired, I'm literally deleting everything and I'm going in the middle of the woods and I'm living off grid forever.
It's just, it's one of those things where like, here's the point that I've reached is like, I get that as media members, we're going to get engagement from folks who are just going to make statements. And I go, I'm reaching the point where I go, I can let this go. Like, okay, whatever. Especially like if I know you, if I've got a relationship with you, I can go, you know what? I think this is dumb. Whatever. I'm going to let it go. When it's folks like that, it's like, I don't know you. What are you talking about? I had some Ohio State guy, no clue who this dude is. Okay. I won't give you his name because I barely know him. Don't have any idea who this is, who after Michigan won came into my mentions, not even on the podcast, came into like my personal account mentions and said, it was some incoherent something about when Michigan, it was all misspelled too, as you might imagine. Oh,
they always are.
Michigan will vacate wins in February and Day will be 3-0 in the last three against Booger Eater and Sherrod
Moore. Oh, I saw that.
I'm like, how sad do you have to be?
Look.
And again, I'm not taking shots at you in particular, JP, but I'm saying as a fan base, how soft and sad do you have to be to come in and go, the only hope I have is that I can forget any of this happened in its vacated wins and make fun of a coach that, oh my gosh, just beat you as an interim.
Look,
take the L and sit down.
I know that's not directed at me, but if I ever become one of those fans, just put me down. Take me out back and just put me down.
I'm going to send you to a nice farm in that
please,
state up north.
Please, because I hate it.
That's the stuff that, and again, I know that it's not, Michigan's got the same type of fans, Ohio, and we both hate our own fan bases on the extremes.
Yeah.
But if you just lost for the third year in a row, Don't come at me with these soft takes.
Well, and I know that like
that's pathetic.
And by no means
absolutely pathetic.
By no means are we college football experts, but we watch enough college football.
I'd like to
think we know a little something here or there.
If your only thing to come out of this game is, well, Michigan's going to vacate wins, or, and this is the one that really sets me off, to put an asterisk by this win. I'm not going to go into the whole like it's a minor advantage and nothing's been proven and blah. Ohio State had some. Forget that. I've said my piece on that. I'm done trying to convince folks that that's a thing. If you don't want to be convinced, you're not going to be convinced. There's no asterisk here. Period.
No.
There's also none on 21 or 22 either. But there's absolutely, undeniably not one on 23.
No, I think. And
get out of here.
We didn't talk really the entirety of that day. But we go in on Sunday and finally didn't at length discuss anything. But we had a small discussion on stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because we'd had an agreement. We're not texting during the game.
No, like, we texted that morning to figure out.
And that's the beauty of the rivalry. We respect it too much.
Yeah. And so we didn't talk other than the morning of the game. And it was simply to figure out how we wanted to handle our social media that day. Jace was obviously at the stadium grabbing stuff. That was it. And then Sunday, we kind of broke it down very, very briefly. And I still think this stands true. I think that was the most even those teams have been in a while.
I thought it was the Spider-Man.
100%. I think if you play that game 10 times, you walk away 5-5. I think it was that close. And I think, and I guess this is where we can kind of get into more in-depth analyzing of stuff. So to me, this game came down to a few moments, and all of those moments seemed to go against Ohio State. And that's just the nature of the game. Kyle's interception early on.
Yeah.
It got returned to Ohio State's 7-yard line. It resulted in a touchdown.
Yep.
I will admit a bad throw by McCord.
A bad throw, but I also thought it was interesting. And again, this is where trust the more X's and O's guys. Mm-hmm. But I saw a number of Ohio State folks saying that Marv needed to cut in a little bit more.
He needed to be a little bit more aggressive, but still, it was.
I'll also give a lot of credit to Will Johnson for reading that route and picking it off.
Well, and that's the thing. Marv could have been more aggressive, but he wasn't.
Yep.
And that you can't. That's not an if and or but thing. Correct.
It's all in the moment.
Should McCord have thrown it prematurely?
No.
Because
Will Johnson make a heck
of a defensive play? Absolutely. So you had that, which ultimately, I mean, you take that away. The defense had been playing great. Ohio State wins.
That's a big mistake.
Then you go on, and you have on the second possession for Ohio State, Emeka Ebuka drops a ball that wasn't a perfect ball, but for a receiver in the Division I collegiate level that plays for the Ohio State University, that was talked up as a first-round pick. It was a catchable ball for any Division I athlete.
Yeah.
And I went back and watched the replay, and he had nothing but daylight. He catches that ball. It's probably a touchdown. Maybe gets caught, but it's a huge game. I mean, nobody was in front of him.
Did that drive result in a field goal?
No, we punted it. That was on third down, so we had to punt it. To me, that was a huge play. That's potentially 7 points off the board. Another one that gives Ohio State the win. Then you go on to, I don't know if it was the third or the fourth possession. Ohio State has the ball at Ohio State's 46-yard line. Xavier Johnson just caught a 9-yard ball. It's 4th and 1, fourth and inches.
This is a big one.
And Ryan Day decides to punt the ball. So you had that.
Let's slow down on that. And I don't want to go too much into Ryan Day right now, because I know we're going to get there. But here's where, and again, I'm going to take some shots today because we won. I'm going to take some shots. Ryan Day, I've said this before, is a lot of bark and very little bite. So Ryan Day wants to talk about, we're a tough team, we're a tough team, we're a tough team. Where's Lou Holtz right now? It's 4th and 1 in the game at midfield, and he punted.
Well, and
are you kidding
pregame,
me?
Pregame,
are you kidding
when
me?
The, I don't remember which reporter was talking to him prior to the game starting, but they were interviewing him, and they said, what can we expect out of this offense? And he legit said aggressiveness. And then you go in and you have a game. And I've said this before. We talked about it against Georgia. There are key moments of Ryan Day's career where he outcoaches himself. It's not anything Sherrone Moore. It's not anything Kirby Smart. Anything that they do against him, it's him inflicting self-inflicted wounds. And you go in and you watch this, and every single person that has watched college football and knows a thing about football goes, this is a game where their offense had been moving. We are at midfield. It's 4th and 1.
Yep.
You've got your star running back and Travion back. You also have Chip Trainum, yep, who's a bigger body, who you trusted to gain a yard in Notre also, Dame.
Devin Brown's healthy for this game.
Yeah.
That's your goal line package, if you will.
It's one of those things where you watch that and you go, if you want to set the tone in a game like this, and here's the I'll give credit to Michigan in a couple areas today, but the thing where I really want to narrow down and give praise where it's due. Sherrone Moore absolutely did what a coach needs 100% to do in this game. I think him going, what do you guys finish? 3 of 3 or 4 of 4 on fourth down?
Something like that. I want to say 3 of 3.
His ability and his composure to go, I believe in my guys. And yeah. I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I've always said this. If you can't trust your guys to get a single yard, you deserve to lose.
Yeah.
If it comes down to it and you don't trust that your guys can pull out, and I said it last year against Georgia, if Ohio State, I think they were at the 40 something yard line last year too against Georgia, where they punted and they had faked it originally, got it. Kirby Smart had called a timeout. They went back and decided to punt. I've said it ever since we've talked about that game. If Ohio State goes for it again, gets that, it's game over. Ohio State's going to win the national championship because they were going to smack TC.
It's just, especially, and I think this is it. Especially if you're going to yell and scream about where Lou Holtz is and how it's a tough team and whatever. You nailed it. Sherrone Moore was aggressive. Look at Michigan in 2022.
It's all trust.
Look at Harbaugh in, was it the opening drive of the second half in 22 where Michigan had the ball on like their own 30, fourth and one, mm-hmm, and went for it? I think it was.
Yeah.
And guess what? They got it. And that was a huge play.
And that's where I walk away.
The ball back. And that was in a much more difficult situation.
Yeah, and that's where I walk away and I go, your defense had been playing phenomenal up to that point. Granted, it was early on, but they've got the energy. You're not talking a fourth quarter, whatever. They still have the legs underneath of them. They're not worn down yet. So to me, Ryan Day, you've got to trust your guys. Yeah,
say to me that you're trusting your defense. Oh, I'm just going to punt and trust the defense. That tells me I don't trust my offense.
100%. And that's what I think it boils down to. Sherrone Moore trusted his guys when the time and the pressure came, they were going to get the job done. There are two more things that I want to hit on here. The one a little bit more at length, but Ryan Day's clock management before heading into halftime was atrocious. That? It was what? Jerry James Franklin of him.
Like it's fourth and two, and he elects to run the clock all the way down and then let Fielding try a 52 yarder, which he has not attempted. I don't think he's even attempted a 50 plus this year.
No, it would have been a long for him.
So I just don't understand that. And I know afterwards he kind of played both sides where he was like,
yeah,
well, you know, it's better to try. I thought, you know, if we get it, we look great. And if we don't,
But I think his play calling, even leading up to that, was very conservative. You take an aggressive deep shot with Marv to get to the 44 with a minute left. So you pick up a first down with a minute left, and then you play so conservative for the field goal.
That's not second guessing. That was me first guessing. I said it right when it happened thanks, I guess.
Yeah. The second,
why is that your go-to?
That was a head scratcher. But here's what I think the biggest point is, because all over Buckeye social media, it's the easy scapegoat of people wanting to rip Kyle McCord down, wanting to rip Ryan Day apart. And while both made mistakes, And this, I don't even think that this is a legitimate, like, they need to take all of the blame. I think together, these were the issues.
Agree.
The defense allowed Michigan to score 6 of their final 7 drives.
Yep.
That's the story. I mean, you're an elite defense, and I still think they played well. I still think they played well.
I would agree with you.
Because I think a couple of those drives, they got them to fourth down, but they just couldn't. That Sherrone Moore and Michigan came out and decided they wanted it more.
And I think getting them to fourth down, to your point, that's not good enough Michigan can go for it.
I mean, you look at that. UM scored 6 of their final 7 drives. You get another stop or two.
And you've probably seen it floating around social. This was an outstanding stat line. This is not just to rub it in. I mean, it is a little bit, but this is a phenomenal stat line. So this is Michigan's second half drives the last 3 years against Ohio State. So the 3 years that they won, 21, 22, 23. I'm just going to read them to you, then I'll summarize it. 2021, Michigan's second half drives, touchdown, 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 end of game. 2022, second half drives, touchdown, punt, touchdown, field goal attempt, touchdown, touchdown, end of game. 2023, field goal, touchdown, field goal, end of game. So take away end of game because that's just kneel downs. 14 drives in the second half, the last 3 years, 14 drives, 12 of them scoring, one punt, zero turnovers.
Yes.
And Michigan has punted once in the second half against Ohio State in 3 years with no turnovers.
And
that right there is why you win the game.
Other, there are two forget other key Connor differences. Stallions,
forget Connor and blah, blah, blah signs. We blah, blah, blah. That right there is why Michigan's won.
And there are three things that I think still need to be said about this game. I think when you have a game of this magnitude, it's always going to come down to turnovers. Ohio State had two of them. Michigan had none.
There you go.
There's a storyline. You can't make that many mistakes, yep. especially one and that can, results in Michigan.
And I'll defend Kyle a little bit here and say, you can still say Kyle played a good game. He wasn't great.
He played good enough to win.
I agree. You had the ball in plus territory at the end. Was it great? No, but he played good.
Here's the thing I want to say.
He completed, he was 18 of 30 for 270.
And he started out bad. He started out like 4 of 10. So
it's a 60% completion rate, which again, is good. It's not bad. It's not great. It's good. Two touchdowns, but of course, two interceptions. And I'd even throw in there, he made a really bad throw there where Cade Stover had to play defense to keep Michael Barrett from picking it off.
Yeah.
McCarthy, by comparison, just threw it 20 times. 16 of 20, 80%, 150, one touchdown, no interceptions. And that's the key.
And I don't think McCarthy played phenomenal. I think he did what he needed to do.
He went 16 of 20. That's phenomenal. And made great plays with his legs when he needed to. That's a phenomenal performance.
It was fine. It was not elite. I still think he played better than McCord did. He played better than McCord because he didn't have a turnover.
No question. Keep going though.
Here's the stuff. Here's one thing I really want to hit on. Is people are very quick to criticize Kyle McCord on the very last play that sealed the deal. I don't know if I agree with that hatred. The first pick
pick was bad.
First pick's bad. You just a bad all around receiver, quarterback, everything. And this is where I'll give credit again to Michigan.
Yeah.
That last play, Marvin Harrison is open.
Yep.
Kyle McCord had maybe all of 2 seconds because guess what? Offensive lineman got absolutely bullied.
Jalen Harrell was an unsung hero for Michigan in this game, but we're going to sing his praises right now.
Jalen Harrell, which I got a very cool video clip early in the season against Bowling Green of him.
That's right.
He made a phenomenal play on the ball. He got to Kyle McCord within seconds.
Yep.
I mean, Kyle McCord had no time back there. The second it snapped, the ball was snapped. The offensive lineman got beat.
Yep.
Kyle McCord absolutely can't take a sack there. Yep. He doesn't have time to go through a bunch of reads and figure stuff out. To me,
it looks clear. Like Harrell hits him as he releases too, which impacts the trajectory of the ball too.
And that's exactly why the interception happened. Marvin Harrison is open. You give Kyle McCord another second or two. That's probably a completed pass. Sure. We're potentially talking a whole different outcome.
Sure, absolutely.
So to pin that on Kyle McCord being bad is outrageous. I think you just got to give credit where credit is due. Michigan's defense beat the offensive lineman, absolutely bullied him, and got to the quarterback and did his job. And that's why you put pressure on the quarterback is to force throws like that.
I think you could make an argument, and I don't think I want to make this argument. I think you could make the argument that it's better to just take the sack.
You have no timeouts, and there are 20 seconds. You have no timeouts. Yeah. It would have been a 10 plus yardage.
I'll walk that back.
It would have been a 10 plus yardage loss. You can't.
With more time, you could throw it away.
You just can't do that.
It's a great play by Jalen Harrell.
Absolutely.
Because it's this podcast and we're going to take our shots. Rod Moore sealing it. Rod Moore's a kid Ohio State didn't want. He's a kid out of Ohio. Rod Moore's won the last 3 years. That is a personal win for Rod Moore. And that's by the way, this was not from you. So thank God I'm taking shots at other people here. The accounts that are circling saying that's the ball hit the ground.
No,
folks, in the most PC way I can say this, that is Rod Moore's elbow. Not the football.
Look,
okay. I don't know how else to say that, so I'll let you.
Here's the other thing.
That's his elbow. They reviewed it and confirmed it. On top of it, okay. Get away.
Here's the thing.
Take your
elbow. And this will be the final thing that I guess I touch on with this. And then obviously, if you have anything else to say, by all means, before we talk about Iowa, the play call that people are outraged over with Roman Wilson and whether or not it was a turnover or not. Here's where I stand on it. Do I think the ball was moving? Maybe. Sure. I don't know. You know what I do truly believe, though? And I would say this even if it was against Ohio State. Don't let them get in that stupid amount of, don't let the officials have to insert themselves into the game like that.
Sure.
Point blank. You can't, it was a phenomenal throw by McCarthy. Absolute laser. The defense has to do a better job. I think it was a great effort play by Trey Burke to go out there and try and steal it away in the last second. You can't leave it up to a call like that. It's always going to go to the offensive player. And so I think if that's what you're trying to hang your hat on, the defense, while I still think played a heck of a game, the defense let them back in it too many times. You had early on, Ohio State made a monster drive where they absolutely played bully ball all the way down the field.
That was,
and they tied it up 17 apiece.
A lot of Ohio State beats said this. I'll give Ohio State some credit. That was a demoralizing drive for Michigan.
Yes, they absolutely had their way.
The response by Michigan,
and that's what I'm saying is, you go down there, Kyle McCord and Travion Henderson, and I think Chip was a huge part of that.
Yeah, just ran the ball to the
The offense looked good. Momentum was all back on Ohio State's side. They punched Michigan in the mouth. And then guess what? The defense caved.
Yep.
They let Michigan go right down and score a touchdown. I think it was like a 3-4 minute thing. It wasn't super lengthy, but it was like a 80-something yard drive and let them take it away. Get a stop there on defense with all that momentum. Who knows?
I think on the Roman Wilson thing, number one, if I saw another Roman Wilson touchdown overturned on like by a matter of inches, like a la TCU, I was about to vomit in that press box. Here's where I'll stand. I'm not convinced one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because all the way the ball is, I'll say this, the ball is definitely moving all the way to the ground. But once he's on the ground, knees in the end zone, I can't see the ball. And in my mind, I can't tell you whether he's got it secure or not.
Yeah.
But the call on the field, the call on the field of touchdown, there's no way in heck you can overturn that.
No, and
there's
that's
absolutely. Now, I said that about the TCU game as well, and the officials inserted themselves. An official overturning that call for an interception would be inserting yourself. The call on the field has to stand. And Ohio State fans, if we're going to make complaints about that call, then the deep catch where Fleming fumbles it is also incomplete. Okay, like if we're going to say
to me that's so different because it was clear as day.
If we're going to say calls on the field stand, or I'm sorry, if we're going to say calls can be overturned,
it's so different.
It's a bang bang. It's another.
It's so different because Fleming absolutely had possession of it.
It's another bang bang play.
I would disagree with that, but I think at the end of the day, where I stand,
if you're going to hang your hat on the Roman Wilson, and you're not, but I'm saying if you're going to hang your hat on the Roman Wilson,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I think they're different, but I'm also of the mindset. You just can't let that play happen. You can't leave it up to a call like that. You had two defenders in the area.
And for the record, I respect that a lot. I really do.
100%. I don't think you hang your hat on that. I think that's not why Ohio State lost the game. Ohio State killed themselves a couple times. Two turnovers. Your defense allowed them to score 6 out of 7.
And
your head coach made two critical mental errors in coaching. That's what I look back on.
It's one of those games where two very evenly matched teams, and the summary statement is the better team won. Period. Like, no, absolutely. You can't shake your head at that. Sharon, you got out-coached. You got out-toughed.
I don't disagree, but I don't agree. I don't know where I stand on that.
By no means was this like the last couple of years was just a blowout and just whatever. Like, it wasn't remotely that. But did Sharon Moore out-coach Ryan Day? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, no question. Did Michigan out-tough Ohio State when they needed to? Absolutely. Look at the perfect example would be instead of going out forward on 4th and 1, we're going to punt. That would be the number one example. I would look at Michigan's 4th downs as another example.
Yeah.
And frankly, where Ohio State, forces a field goal, which was huge, Michigan ran 7 minutes off the clock.
Well, and I think
Sharon Moore with 8 minutes, I'm watching it and I'm going, oh, he's not actually going to try and milk this clock, is he? I was actually mad about it. I was like, there's too much time left. We've seen this defense play. And Michigan ran 7 minutes off the clock.
And I think I agree with part of that statement. I think it's tough to say they out-toughed them because I don't really feel like Ohio State was given a fair shot because of Ryan Day's coaching errors.
But in the moments where you have to be tough, where you have to get them off the field, on 4th down or 7-minute drive, they didn't do it.
And that's where I think, and I feel like I'm placing a lot of blame on the defense.
They are a great defense, but elite defenses don't do that.
Well, and I would still say that they are elite. I think that was what made this game so interesting to me is I feel like they both played. I just feel like Ryan Day's decision to not go for it twice, basically, for him to not be aggressive at the end of the half, for him to not go for it on fourth down. That was the biggest difference to me, because you saw Sherrone Moore trust his guys and get it. You didn't really give Ohio State a chance to do it, because who knows? Ohio State could have gone for it and succeeded, and then we're having a whole different story potentially. And so to me, that was the thing I walked away from. It was different, because normally, if like the past couple of years when Ohio State's lost, I've been very angry about it. This was disappointed, because
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Legit, because
which is so much worse. In so many ways.
I walked away from that game, and I really don't know. I don't know if I truly feel the better team won, because I think both of these teams are so evenly matched. I don't know if there's a better team. What I'll say,
I mean, I'd say we settle it on the field.
What I'll say is when push came to shove, who made the mistakes and who didn't? Whether Ohio State had self-inflicted wounds that cost them the game or not, I think regardless of the two turnovers, Emeka Ebuka dropping a ball is not something that Michigan defenders had anything to do with. That was a complete misdrop. I
mean, sure, but you can't disregard the rest of the game.
I mean, that would have been clear. He was wide open.
You have two even teams, and the team that wins is going to be the better team.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Get out.
So you would say that even in an upset, by that logic.
No, these are two even teams coming in. They played a very even game, but clearly if you play an even game, the better team won the game. This is not difficult.
I just don't know if I agree with that, because I think
while you're sitting on the couch this weekend watching Michigan win a Big Ten championship, you can think it over.
No, I just disagree with that.
Let's talk Iowa a little bit. Iowa is
10-2.
Iowa is a confusing team, because their offense is atrocious.
Somehow they win.
But that's the thing is I think that in Michigan opens as 22.5-point favorites, which I do not enjoy.
So low.
I do not enjoy. The over for this game, I think, is like 34.5, something around there.
I thought it was around there.
It's supposed to be a low scoring game. Michigan's favored by 4 scores, and I do not like that. I was a tough team to figure out, because at the end of the day, and Jim Harbaugh said this in his presser on Sunday, Iowa wins, and your goal in college football is win games. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, whether you think Michigan should win by a ton or not, Iowa's won, and this is not me setting up for. And so if Michigan loses to Iowa, it's acceptable.
I mean,
it's absolutely not.
Realistically,
but Iowa's won 10 games.
Realistically, you look at it, and I think their head coach, Kirk Ferentz, had a legitimate point when you had the Cooper DeJean punt return that got called back because they said it was a fair catch. You're potentially looking at an 11-1 Iowa team.
You are looking at the number. Hear me here. By the numbers, you are a Cooper DeJean irrational overturn.
Yeah.
From an Iowa team that on paper had a better season than Ohio State. 11-1, making the conference title on paper. By no means am I suggesting Iowa's better than Ohio State.
I was about to walk out of here and go find a new co-host.
This is whether you like it or not, this is a team that should be 11-1 right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So all that to say, Michigan fans, don't take this lightly. I don't think the team is. The team knows. I'm not concerned about the team going, hey, we're walking straight into the playoff. If you lose to Iowa, nothing's guaranteed here.
If you lose to Iowa,
that's a bad loss. And there are teams in Texas and Alabama and Oregon and there's a lot of teams ready to take your spot.
Yeah.
You cannot lose this game. Could you still back your way in? Sure. But boy, nothing's guaranteed here. So that being said, Michigan's defense, I don't know if you've realized this, is pretty good too. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know if you've realized this, Michigan actually has an offense. As much as I've set this thing up, 34-3.
Okay.
Because I don't believe
we're not crazy far.
I'm going to go against all conventional wisdom and take the over in an Iowa game, barely 34-3. Because I don't believe Iowa can score.
I guess
they can kick a field goal. But
I don't believe
Iowa can score, and I think Michigan's offense, combined with Michigan's defensive ability to score points, because by the way, Will Johnson basically got tripped up by his own guy, or he runs that in for a touchdown. I just believe in Michigan too much.
Here's where I stand on it. I agree with basically everything you said. Iowa has zero offense. The reason that I have this a little bit lower scoring,
which I think is a fair pick as well, by the way,
because I still think the defense for Iowa is good. I don't think they're near the level of Ohio State or Michigan's defense.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't believe so. Here's why. I think I have my final score is 31-7. Michigan obviously winning.
I don't hate
here's,
that either.
Here's why I have it. I think Michigan obviously has the potential to score 40+. Sure. I think just the way it goes, I think deep down everybody at Michigan knows they should handle this pretty easily. And I don't think they're going into that. I think they're going in with the right mindset, but I'm just saying I think the coaching staff is looking at this.
The expectation.
The coaching staff is looking at this, and once it gets to be 24-0, which I could see it being at half,
you keep guys
late
healthy
into the third. I think you're keeping guys healthy once, for the playoffs, once and you're taking McCarthy's out, Quorum's out.
Once you hit the Brian Ferentz threshold.
Yeah, of seven.
You pull guys out, you get them healthy.
100%. And so that's why I have Michigan only at 31. I think Iowa will sneak out like a late game touchdown just because I feel like they'll be ready to go.
If you're a Michigan fan, the beauty of Tony Petitti having to hand Jim Harbaugh a trophy.
Which he's back. He's back now.
Like straight into the veins. Can you imagine? And again, Michigan obviously travels well. Michigan will
it's Michigan, not far.
It'll be a home game for Michigan. There's no question about that.
I thought it was Michigan versus everybody, though.
Right now, it's Michigan versus Iowa. and Tony Petitti handing that trophy to Harbaugh is going to be a delight. The boo birds will be out for Tony. It's gonna be really fun.
And I have never been a bigger Hawkeye fan than this upcoming Saturday.
My buddy Josiah is a big Iowa Hawkeye fan. He texted me congrats after the Ohio State game and said, please don't embarrass us. Josiah, I can't promise that.
What's crazy is I don't look at a 31-7 as like an embarrassment, but I know the talent gap is so different it could be. It's like literally playing without, with your food.
And I feel so bad for Cooper DeJean.
A talent.
I mean, that kid is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I hope he goes to the Lions because the Lions just draft Iowa Hawkeyes.
And they're good. They turn out to be good.
So we're not going to go through every conference championship game this coming weekend, but I want to know, and this will, let me start here. Stupid Genius upset picks of the week. This will be the last one that we do.
Okay.
Stupid Genius, J Company, fall in love with your home all over again. The JAEcompany.com. Also, by the way, before we go into it, want to say a big thanks to our friends at Elevated Integrity Construction. Aaron Carroll and his team have been phenomenal all year sponsoring this podcast again. As you start looking ahead to your home, church, business build, you got some questions about it. There's no guesswork with these guys. Go with Integrity. It's in the name, Elevated Integrity. .com. Stupid Genius upset pick of the week for me. I don't love this pick. I don't even know if I believe it. I'll take Bama over Georgia. Okay,
I almost did that.
Five point dogs. What do you got? I think I know. There's not a lot of good picks here.
I almost picked that one just because they almost lost to Auburn, but I really love Milroe right now.
He's playing good.
He is, and I saw somebody tweet this. He is what I want Ohio State's quarterback to be, and I'm not going to take a shot at Kyle, but I know a lot of people were upset about his pregame stuff where he said it's just another game. I don't think he meant it in the context people took it. But
I'm going to take it that way.
But I get the fire. I get the fire that people want. And Milroe walking off of that after a huge win in the final seconds on that kind of a dramatic play and him screaming, I want the Heisman, give me the height, let's go. That's the kind of energy that I just love. And I want to feed.
Georgia didn't look phenomenal against Georgia Tech.
I want to feed off of that confidence, but that's not where I'm going. I've got Washington over Oregon. Oregon's walking into this game, 9-point favorites. I know Michael Penix Jr. I saw that.
I don't think so. I think it's a 3-point spread.
I saw 9.
Oh, you know what? You know, it's fine. You have 0 points in this contest.
Let me get one.
I thought you were going to go Louisville over FSU.
I debated it.
I take it back. That might be the one.
Washington's nine point favorites. Yeah, let me pull.
I would like to change my pick. Wow, they are Oregon is. Oregon's 9-point favorite.
Yeah, and I have Washington beating Oregon.
Oh, never mind. I don't want to change that pick at all. Oregon's going to win that game. Hands down.
Penix has not looked great. Bo Nix has been phenomenal. Bo Nix is probably going to win the Heisman.
And again, I don't really think Alabama's going to beat Georgia either. No. But so project for Sunday for me. Project for Sunday your four teams based on how you want. I know you want.
Or am I thinking after the results, obviously?
What are you talking about? Yes,
just let me live, okay?
I know you want Texas to lose and Washington.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. Georgia, Michigan, I've got Washington, and then I think Florida State's going to lose. I think Oregon's going to lose. Texas probably because they play who is Oklahoma State now.
Are you trying to throw Texas in four or are you trying to put Ohio State in? Are you trying to backdoor Ohio State here?
I think Ohio State could get in realistically, but I think Texas will win. And because they have a one loss, but they have a conference championship, it'll jump them.
Ohio State's finished. Like I need you to accept that.
I won't until it's official, but thank you.
Texas would have to lose.
Washington has to win out. Georgia has to win out and Texas has to lose.
And Florida State has to lose,
but they play Louisville and that's a tough game.
Yeah, even
I think the one loss.
All those things will not happen.
But they're not out of the question.
I am going to go actually the same. I'm going to flip your Pac-12 champion. Georgia at one, Michigan at two. I've got Oregon at three, Texas at four. Okay. I think you're going to see Georgia and Texas probably in the Sugar Bowl.
As an unbiased football fan,
I think you've got Michigan, Oregon in the Rose Bowl. I want no piece of Oregon. I think Michigan could beat anybody, and that includes Oregon. But if you say what's the one team you don't want to see,
they're playing hot.
It's Oregon.
They're playing hot.
Georgia's got like Oregon is the one team right now. Forget the fact that they lost in October or whatever it was. Oregon is the one team right now.
They lost to Washington barely.
Michigan and Oregon are the two teams right now that I would say I see no flaws in these teams. Like that, those are the two best teams in the country. I do not want to see Oregon. Period.
Well, and if Michael Penix turns it on, I mean, he didn't have a phenomenal game this past weekend.
But I'm honestly like the way that Penix has played lately. I think Bo Nix is going to win the Heisman.
Probably. It's between Bo Nix and
Washington
Penix.
Any day of the week right now. If I'm Michigan over Oregon. Any day
if I'm you guys, I'm praying that I'm seeing Texas. I don't want to see any of the Pac-12.
I wouldn't mind seeing Texas either. Yeah, if I can avoid the Pac-12, that's great.
At least the first round.
Or you could just lose to Iowa.
Let's just do that. If I were Iowa, I would simply score more.
On social media, the plan is to be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship at Rival Pod, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. We'll have coverage there for you regardless. Thanks for listening, for subscribing to the Rivalry Podcast.
The Rivalry is a production of River Radio Ministries. Want live updates from the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at RivalPod. Visit our Patreon and consider becoming a patron for exclusive bonus content, merch, and more. And be sure to follow us wherever you're listening now for new episodes every Tuesday. And if you like what you're hearing, tell a friend so they can listen too.